The president was greeted by veteran Soviet ambassador
to offer condolences on the death of Leonid Brezhnev.
The operation is what's crucial, because what we do is for the good of the many. Don't let your conscience get us killed.
If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is. Every move you
make. This is the West Coast Project podcast for the Americans. My name is Mike, and I'm here with Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Mike.
So what we thought we would do, Jamie, kind of review what Paige has done in season two and maybe project about where she'll be for season three. And that's a good lead intro for what we think is going to happen in season three, because I do think it's probably going to center a lot around Paige. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm expecting that that's what's going to happen. I was watching a few videos on YouTube today about things that, like interviews that were done at Comic-Con with the two writers for the main writers for the series, and they did talk about Paige being heavily featured, and so I'm looking forward to that. Maybe being, you know, maybe I don't know. Maybe we'll get to see, you know, Spy Paige. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I kind of hope not, because I want her to stay innocent. You know, I did some research about Holly Taylor. That's Paige's real name in real life. She's just a junior in high school.
Oh, she's really young.
Yeah, she was born in like 1997.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, she's a baby. So I appreciate you doing all the research on her for, you know, she was kind of highlighted a lot in season two. What did you come up with for those highlights from season two?
Well, I mean, I didn't do like really formal research. What I did was kind of like go through and rewatch and kind of, you know, like, you know, look at the what her character was going through. And so some of the stuff is stuff that we talked about before, like, but I'll tell you what I've really noticed through each episode and just watching the actress and watching the character is that Paige, it's almost like when we entered season two, Paige was kind of like already like almost like she grew up over the summer, or she grew up over that, you know, like during the time that we were gone between seasons one and two. And she was already feeling kind of like curious about things and kind of testing her boundaries and kind of, you know, kind of getting into things that she maybe shouldn't get into. Because if you remember in the first episode of second season, that's when, you know, Paige kind of goes into the laundry room and she's kind of looking around, or maybe that might have been like the last episode of first season. She was like in the laundry room looking around, trying to, you know, figure out what her mother was doing down there when she was supposedly folding laundry. And Paige knows something's up.
She's definitely leaving adolescence behind. She's a young adult now. Even somewhere in the middle or beginning of season two, she was becoming that young adult. And I think we need to expect to treat her like an adult as viewers. She's going to be onto stuff that you can't just pull the wool over her eyes like she's a little girl anymore.
Right, exactly. And you know, and I think that Elizabeth and Philip have quite a lot on their hands. I think they're gonna really have maybe a rude awakening this season if they don't reveal their identities to Paige, and we just keep Paige kind of in that growing up teenage bubble that she's in right now. Then they are going to have a lot to contend with, because she's no slouch and she knows things aren't exactly as they seem. She's got a feeling there and she's trying to figure out what's going on.
It seems like her first reaction to her parents seems to be a rebellious one too. Like, not, okay, mom and dad, I see what you're doing. I'm in, I'm back, you know, I'm all for one for the family. She's kind of she's kind of rebellious. So what do you think? I mean, if they propose this deal to her, like, okay, here's the family and here's what you do. You become a spy and here's how we do it. What if she rebels against that, Jamie? What if she becomes a spy for the Americans? I mean, I could see that as a very viable scenario.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that's kind of about it, is that, I mean, it really could go in any direction, including something awful happening to Paige. Because if they reveal themselves to her and she doesn't toe the line, then what happens?
Yeah, how deep is their dedication to Mother Russia? Do they have to lock her up in the house or send her to Belize or what? You know, what do they do? They can't just let her tell people.
Send her to Belize. Nice reference. For that, Mike. but I don't know. And see, that's the thing. Like, I don't think they know either. And you know, having Russia, you know, be the entity that decides this. Like, they're the ones that want to start this second generation spy plan, right? So they have to have some sort of protocol in place for what happens if the target doesn't agree to be recruited. And I can't imagine that it would include anything less than Siberia.
Well, we know that they're capable of that. They've done that before, not necessarily with people that don't toe the line, but they want people back in their grips. They take them back in and they just lock them down, and then they're ironclad stuck back in Russia. I mean, yeah. Do you think that's out of the likelihood of possibilities for Paige, or is it open?
Well, okay, so I mean, from a very sort of social standpoint, what happens to a person who is an adolescent who has a reality revealed to them that they would never have expected? They don't agree with it. They buck the system. Okay, so she's a teenager. She's wily. She's gonna react poorly. It's entirely possible that she would react poorly. And then what? Because all of this is very sort of a precarious premise. That, you know, everybody here has got to tread very carefully because of this, the necessity of all of this being completely secret, right? So if she freaks out and says anything to anyone, either they're going to have to kill her, they're going to have to get rid of her really quickly, you know, or ship her off somewhere, or drug her or something. But none of it seems plausible. None of it seems like it would really work, except shipping her away. But even that would be such a culture shock. She doesn't speak Russian. She doesn't even know she's Russian. You know?
Yeah. The other interesting thing in this whole formula, Jamie, is that the parents know that the parents are smart too. So they know they can't just say, hey, Jamie, you want to be a spy? No? Okay. Well, I guess we're stuck with this option. It's going to be pretty layered. I think it's going to be a complicated, sophisticated process to either make Paige into a spy, or at least make her aware of the fact that they may someday want her to be a spy. I don't think it's a black and white question.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, because that makes more sense. So it can't be that, you know, in episode one, the premiere tomorrow, that, you know, they sit her down at the table and say, listen, honey, we have something to tell you. And then, you know, give her the talk.
Right. She's got no motherland perspective either. Her motherland is USA. She's all American.
Exactly.
So they can't expect her to be like Mother Russia, everything and all is Mother Russia, like her parents. So I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma. It's probably a good opportunity for the writers, even though it seems to be really challenging to them to figure out what they're going to do. But, you know, they've done some pretty cool stuff before. I'm sure they're going to come up with a really cool scenario for us to watch. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do.
Okay, so here's my question to you. When do you think the bomb gets dropped?
You know, I don't think it's going to be a bomb. I think it's going to be a little leak here and there. And I think starting right off the bat, that's kind of what I think they've prepped us to expect. So I don't see waiting three or four episodes in before they bring up and broach this topic. But I think they're going to broach it, like, delicately. What do you think?
What I think is that Philip and Elizabeth are going to disagree as to whether they should recruit Paige. I think that Philip is going to continue to say that he doesn't think that she could take it, that she could do it. I think that Elizabeth is going to feel like that's the only way to proceed. Because you remember last season, Elizabeth was the one sitting there ruminating and feeling so upset about Paige coming home with religion. And she was the one saying, you know, this is so awful. They just leak this awful stuff into our kids, this stuff about God, and they don't teach them what real values are. And she's really, really having that mother moment of being kind of just horrified at realizing that she's not giving her child that direction and the values and everything that she really believes in, even though she kind of can't, because she can't, you know? So, I mean, for her, I think this is really a tempting idea, because then she can really take the blinders off. She can tell her, listen, this is what's right. This is what we believe in. This is what we know is true, right? And sort of get her on the quote-unquote right track according to Elizabeth's ideals and what her goals are and what her beliefs are. But Philip is the person who wanted to defect. Philip is the person who, he's the daddy. That's his baby girl. He's going to want to protect her. And why put her into a life where her life is in danger literally every single time she walks out the front door? You know? Yeah.
Didn't they leave it last season, though, where Claudia kind of broached this subject with Philip and Elizabeth? And Philip right away said, no, absolutely no way. Don't even think of this. And then Elizabeth kind of bought in and supported him. But then later on, she kind of said, well, you know, maybe we ought to think about it. So she was at first very protective of Paige, and now she's trying to see if maybe she can convince Philip to change his mind. That's right. What I remember. How accurate is that?
Right. That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. Because, like, the last part of I think it was the last scene, they were in the kitchen around the table, and they were talking about it. And that was when Philip said this would destroy her. And Elizabeth was like, I don't know. It could be kind of good. So,
well, what if this dilemma destroys the marriage between Philip and Elizabeth? Philip wants her to not absolutely know, and Elizabeth absolutely yes. She has to. What if that scenario pops up?
I really don't think that would work. I think that their marriage has to stay strong because there are so many changes going on inside the family. If Paige's position is going to change in any significant way, if she becomes a bit more grown up, if anything happens with her that causes any sort of like for her role to be slightly different, then I think their marriage has to stay together for the sake of the story, because then otherwise, where's the family? So from just a really pragmatic standpoint, just looking at it from the outside as a viewer and as somebody who writes, I would say that the family has to stay together, and that's mom and dad. So I don't think it'll break them up.
You know, I agree with you that it would mess up the kind of the whole premise of the show, The Americans. But so here we are back at square one. We got a big bundle knot of a problem. So what's going to happen?
I think that I don't believe that it'll come to a head on an episode one. I think that the only way something like that could happen would be if the Soviets kidnapped her in order to like put her through some sort of training, or if there was some sort of other thing that happened from the outside where Paige and I'm sorry, where Elizabeth and Philip had to work together to save Paige from something. I think that if that happened, then yeah, it could happen in the first episode. Otherwise, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's interesting that they have to work, that they're still on the same side and the Russians are kind of off to the side, and they've kind of enveloped Paige into their nefarious doings, and they have to help her. That's a good plot.
I like the way you put that, nefarious doings.
So Jamie, I've been snooping around into these early reviews of some of the episodes, and it looks like we should have spoiler alerts, I guess, but we don't know anything, so this is all projection. This is not really for sure spoiler, but I guess if you don't want any even predictions or anything, you shouldn't listen to this until you see the first few episodes. So spoiler alert, I'll give a little warning here. But one of the things somebody's talking about is there's Islamic militants involved in the first few episodes.
Huh, really?
Yeah, because remember at the time in the early 80s, the Russians were really involved with Afghanistan, and here we are today with kind of this, we have the same dilemma with that part of the world. So yeah, Islamism, Islamic militants seem to be part of the first couple things on the agenda for the writers that they've introduced here in season three.
Well, that's interesting because we did have like one scene last season where Philip was in, I want to say Turkey maybe, or is it Morocco? He was in a Muslim country, and he was talking with some militants there, some military sort of representative guys there, and that one of the guys, remember, one of the guys gave him a dagger and said, "I killed my first Russian with this one," because Philip was pretending to be an American, and we're saying, "Oh, it's so great to have the same enemy." So he was this American representative, supposedly, talking to these, you know, Islamic militants, basically, but who were like legit with their government. And one of the guys handed him the dagger and said, "I killed my first Russian with this. It was terrible, but it got easier every time." And that's, yeah, it was like he flipped out and he killed the guy because he was just like, "Uh-uh, you're not going to do that."
Yeah,
diss me like that.
Back then, we were giving arms and help to the Taliban to fight against Russia because Russia was our enemy. And because Russia was the Taliban's enemy, the enemy of the enemy made them our friend, like the old saying goes. So, of course, today that's all kind of flipped around. But who knows? So that's a part that they seem to be introducing into season three that really has nothing to do with Paige that I can connect. But you know, the world had other problems too back then, and this seems like it's one that they're going to focus on.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's, you know, it's definitely, it's really interesting. You know, you made me start thinking because I'd forgotten about that. I forgot about that scene in last season, and I also forgot that was actually part of the political landscape back then in the early 80s. And you're right, because we were even friends with Osama bin Laden, who turned out to not be a very cooperative friend of the United States, to say the least. And so but yeah, we were kind of, you know, those were the people that we were dealing with back then.
Exactly. So we're going to have to see that evolve. And we do have, I mean, this is a very good show. So it is really factually based in historic fact. So we know by history what some of that stuff is and how it turns out. So I guess that's going to help a little bit, but it's, you know, I'm just really looking forward to it. I don't know what they're going to do with Paige, and I don't know what they're going to do with Noah, and I don't know if the two of them are going to stay together, and or what their next mission is going to be. But I'm really looking forward to it. This has become quietly one of the best shows on television in the last 2 years.
Oh, I agree. And with the disappearance of our old friend Breaking Bad, I think that it's made it so much easier for people to sort of see the Americans for what it is. It's, I mean, it's just beautiful. The you know, the writing's amazing. The acting is just beautiful. I think, I don't know, actually, I haven't looked into the casting agents for this series, but I would be interested to see what other work they've done, because the casting, I think, on this show is really, really just so strong. I mean, I have to tell you, we talked last season about Richard Thomas in that role as Frank Gadd. That guy, I just love watching him. And then, you know, we've also got our main players, you know, like all of them are just so compelling. They're so easy to watch, you know. And then Margot Martindale is Claudia, who I really hope comes back. And they've the head writers have been sort of, I don't know, a little bit non-committal about saying whether we're going to see very much of her, but I really want to see more of Claudia. So I'm hoping that she'll come back too, because her acting's amazing. She's wonderful.
What about the marriage of, air quotes, of Philip and Martha? How long can that possibly keep going forward?
You know what? I don't know. But I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, they just, she's, first of all, we need her. We need Martha, right? I think that she's a great, she's a central piece of Gad's office, right? And she gives that great sort of, you know, interplay with Philip and allows Philip to be Clark. And, you know, that whole thing is just so awful. But like what you said, what did you call it the last time we talked about it? You said amazing and awful or awesome and awful. And so it is, because it's really, it's a compelling storyline. And so we need her there. And, you know, so I hope we get to see a bit more of her before he, you know, really just completely decimates her heart.
I'm a little worried about Martha. I think she's sort of doomed because she's also very smart. And Philip has pushed her to about the limit of how far he can fool her and pull the wool over her eyes, and she's going to catch on. I think he's going to try to push a little bit more to do something with Gad, to get something from Gad or copy a file or get some information, and she's going to catch on. She's going to become a problem, and I think she's in trouble.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Chekhov, the Russian playwright Chekhov said that if you introduce a gun in Act One of a play, you must shoot that gun by Act Three. All right. So, guess who had a Ladysmith gun?
I know.
Last season. And I'm just wondering, because that gun didn't get introduced for no reason. That gun is going to have to get fired at some point. So who is going to receive the bullet?
Yeah, I don't know. Chekhov's Ladysmith. It doesn't have to be Martha shooting it either. Maybe somebody else will get the gun and shoot her.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. That gun is Chekhov's gun waiting to do something.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I'm just curious about the whole thing. And, you know, who knows, maybe Paige will grab that gun and shoot somebody with it.
So do you have any predictions outside of Paige and Martha? What else are you thinking might happen in our little spoiler section here of our pre-season podcast?
I don't know. I haven't really thought. Well, okay, so I don't know any spoilers, but maybe you can tell me if you've heard anything about our old friend Nina. I really hope that we get to see more of her.
I haven't heard of Nina yet, but I really do hope we see her too. I really like Nina. I don't know about Nina and Noah. I think that kind of played itself out. But yeah, Nina, maybe Nina and who's the other guy? Arcady?
Who's the other? Yeah.
The guy that kind of had a crush on her, was that Arcady?
Oh, no, you're thinking about Oleg.
Oleg, yeah. Nina and Oleg might have some legs. What do you think?
I don't know. I have to tell you, I thought that we never got to talk about this last season, but I really liked the way that she was with Oleg. Like together, when they had their little intimate scenes together, they seemed so much more comfortable and so much more a couple, like a real couple, than Nina did with Stan, at least in my eyes. And so I don't know. I mean, you know, he tried to save her. He really kind of threw himself in harm's way and put himself on the line trying to save her last season. I think he really has real feelings for her. And I think that she really has real feel him too. And so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, can you be cheating on someone you're cheating on with somebody else? Because that's kind of what she was doing, right? She was cheating, or Noah was cheating, but then she was cheating on Noah with Oleg,
right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All that stuff is so complicated to me. I'm a one-man sort of woman, so, you know, I'm not accustomed to juggling anything. But I have to say, if I had to guess as to who she was really cheating on, okay, she was cheating on Stan, but I think she really had real feelings for Oleg. And I think that her feelings for Oleg were more sincere and maybe a bit deeper because they share a language and because they share a secret and because they share a side, you know, like a political side. Oleg doesn't want anything from her other than herself.
No? Yeah, that's a good point. They're both on the same team, but you might also argue that that made Stan's feelings for her even stronger, that she was on the opposite team and he still fell for her.
Right, but what about her feelings for Stan? Because I know Stan is in love with her.
Yeah, but Stan was kind of a... Stan, I keep wanting to call him Noah. But yeah, Stan was kind of a mope. He was kind of a fool for her, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so what do you think about that? Do you think that... because, okay, let's not look at it from a moral standpoint, because morally he was just completely in the wrong. But, like, just thinking of him as, like, let's... Just think of him in terms of only his relationship with Nina. What do you think about, like, him pursuing her and falling in love with her and that kind of thing? Should he have done that? Was that a bad idea?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, why was it a bad idea?
Well, because he was married, so it ruined his marriage, and he was an American spy executive, so that potentially ruined his career. He took the right course with that and made the decision to not ruin his career. But yeah, they were both bad, you know, both bad decisions, I think. They were a bad fit for Noah. I'm worried about Noah too, or Stan, because I think his story's kind of played out. He's divorced, or he's separated, and he's lost Nina. What are they going to do? Get him involved again with Nina, or again with his ex-wife, or his...
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Here's what I think about Stan. I think they better not take my Stan away, because I really like him. Like, I like the actor, Noah, and I like the character Stan Beeman. And so I hope that what happens is that Stan sort of gets involved in some other kind of intrigue, because the whole thing, the reason why Gad was there, right, is because of the investigation into the murder of Timashev, right?
Right.
Okay, so all of that is still unresolved. So maybe we get a little bit more involved in that, or maybe some other intrigue comes into Gad's office. If I had to guess, I would say that Stan is going to get exposed and called to account for some choices that he made in dealing with Nina.
That's interesting. I guess that's possible. I think they have to be kind of careful with their time too, because they're... This isn't going to turn into a soap opera like what happened with him and her, and her and him and the other her. I think that they're going to have some interesting new characters to introduce, real life characters like Brezhnev and Reagan and or whatever, whoever, I don't even know who came after. I guess Brezhnev has just passed away at the beginning of season 3 in real life. But whoever came after Brezhnev, I don't even happen to know. But I think they're going to have to weigh this time that they spend on real-life characters and fictional characters and the fictional characters' relationships with each other. And it's not going to be soapy. I don't think it's going to be like a soap opera. I think it's going to be pretty well-rooted in real facts of real history.
Yeah, no, you know what? I think you're right. I think that there's so much there that they can draw on. And, of course, you know, Joe Weisberg, lived this stuff. And so he's got, you know, the perfect sort of, background and, wealth of experiences to draw from to, you know, inform this. So I think you're right. I think definitely that, it's going to be, you're going to have a lot of current events, at least current for that time, events involved in the whole thing. So I think that'll be a really central part of what we get to see. But I'm curious, actually, you brought up Brezhnev and, like, who came after him, and now I'm wondering, so now I'm going to look it up.
1982, man, that was, like, what, 32 years ago?
Gosh,
3 years ago.
That's long time ago. Oh, Khrushchev. Okay, Brezhnev replaced Khrushchev, Nikita Khrushchev, and
Gorbachev. Mikhail Gorbachev.
Was it? Was it Gorbachev?
Gorbachev was somewhere after Brezhnev. I don't know if he was right after Brezhnev.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Russian leaders. I'm looking. Can you edit this?
Yeah, but it's not bad. It's okay. So I am kind of reading ahead here in some of these reviews of the first couple episodes of the season that these screeners get, these guys that see episodes and then review them. And Joel Fields is the co-writer of the other guy. Joe Weisberg was the CIA agent, I guess, right? Uh-huh. He's the writer of the show, and then Joel Fields is his partner, helps him write it. They're talking about this secret. What do they do with the secret? And they're talking about, like, Henry. Like, what do they do with Henry? Henry, the little brother of Paige. He can't just be isolated from anything and everything that happens with Paige. Paige can't be a secret.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Here's the deal with Henry. Like, they've got to feature Henry heavily in this season, not only because of his interplay with Paige. I mean, that's crucial, right? Because they're siblings. But also because I just adore Dr. Henry, and I love the way they write for him. He is adorable. I mean, like, the stuff he says, we talked about this. I was rewatching an episode a few days ago in preparation for this, and he was telling a story at the table during this one episode during season two about a kid who got an apple stuck in his mouth. And, like, he bit the apple so big that he couldn't, like, open his mouth wider to get the apple out, but his teeth were, like, sunk into it, so they had to cut the apple out of the kid's mouth. And this is a story that Henry is telling at the table while, like, all this other weird stuff is going on. This was the morning after Paige walked in on her mom and dad, you know, doing things.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, all this, like, weird discomfort at the table, and Henry is telling this story about the kid who got the apple stuck in his mouth and his jaw was sore the next day and all this stuff. I mean, I love what these writers do with his dialogue. It's just
well, and Henry is a little spy. He's a little secret agent anyway, right? Didn't he break into Stan's house to play video games on his new Atari system? Surreptitiously, like, he snuck in there and he got caught, but he was, like, doing it without permission. He was a little scofflaw. Right? And Paige is kind of the idealist. Paige is, like, the let's do something to protest bad things in the world. And so she is kind of like her mother in that she wants to be an idealist for something that she really truly believes in. But Henry was the little spy. You know, he was the one doing the little subversive stuff. So what's going to happen with him? You know, he's got the other traits that you need to be to be a good secret agent is, you know, the willing to fool people and pretend that you are, you know, are somebody else.
Isn't that interesting? I think that's really that you brought up a really, really good, interesting topic that I've never thought about before. Those kids are written, the way that those children are written, they really do reflect the personality traits and the strengths of their parents in different ways. You're right. Paige is really idealistic, like her mom. And Henry is, I don't know, Henry is just really a cool kid. And yeah, and he's a scofflaw. That's a perfect word to use for him.
He's ninja. And plus, he's pretty tough. Remember when that creepy molester dude was going to take Paige and Henry off into the park and molest them or do something? He had them drinking beer and stuff. And Henry got them out of that.
You're right. You're exactly right. Like, he's got skills. He's got survival skills.
Yeah, so he's nothing to trifle with. He can't just sit in the background while all this other action happens and all these other new personalities develop. He's got his own little piece of real estate in the show that we have to see develop as well.
Yeah, I really, you know, honestly, I have to tell you, I really want to see more of Henry. I really do, because I think not only is the actor who plays Henry, is he really good? He's very, very, very good. But like I said, I just love to hear what comes out of his mouth, because I think it's his age. You know, they just write for him. They write so well for him, and he's entertaining. And, you know, there's that comic relief that he provides. And I don't know. I love it. I love that their family life is so authentic. I love that the way that they interact with each other is real. And I think he contributes to that.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be cool to watch.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to invite our listeners to send any questions they have, or any, like, if you guys want to, you know, talk to me on Twitter, just send me a question or a comment or whatever, and I'll answer you guys, so we can talk back and forth a bit between episodes.
So how do people reach you on Twitter?
I'm at WordGirly.
At WordGirly. My Twitter is at ScathingTweets. And both of those will be in the show notes for this podcast. This podcast is on Stitcher, it's on iTunes, and it should be on TuneIn Radio. I'm not sure if that feed ever got resolved. But you can find us here on the website if you have any questions or need any more information at West Coast Project. This is one of many podcasts that we do, but The Americans under West Coast Project. So did you have anything else, Jamie, for the preview side of this season before we sign off?
No, I think that's it. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow.
All right, awesome. So until the podcast for the first episode, we'll sign off for our preview for season 3 of The Americans.
The Americans premieres Wednesday, January 28th at 10, only on FX.